Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, behold, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden unto him to do, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And ladies and gentlemen, he alone is worthy of our worship. Amen. For he alone loved us and saved us from all of our sins and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And that's what Christmas is all about. Now, I invite you to open your... By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about. In one verse in the prophecy of Isaiah that I just quoted a few moments ago, but I want you to read it. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. As you're finding your place there, I should remind you that Isaiah prophesied more than 700 years before our Lord Jesus came into the world. He was commonly called the prophet of redemption, the messianic prophet, because he wrote so much about the Messiah. And what a wonderful thing that we have the record in our own language. Thank God for those who gave their lives. Since the days of Christ, more than 70 million people. And while we enjoy our Christmas today, more than 300 people will be martyred for Christ. Count your blessings, ladies and gentlemen, that we still, as of this moment, have freedom in our country. And nobody's going to put us to death because of our faith in Christ. And I say up to this moment, I don't have to tell you that our freedoms will be encroached upon every day that we live. But thank God, if we have to go through martyrdom, we'll still go to heaven. If we go through natural death, we'll still go to heaven. If we go through the rapture, we'll still go to heaven. And I'd rather have the undertaker any day than the undertaker, hadn't you? I'm going to read Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, and I want you to look at it as I read it and let it be absorbed into your heart and mind. And I'll read it after we pray. Our Father, we truly thank thee today for Christmas Day, when many are doing other things, such a wonderful congregation has come together to worship Christ. Not to see who got what for Christmas. And all of that's good. But may our hearts and minds be set and centered upon him today who loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world in the most unusual way through a virgin birth. May we never forget. And should there be those in this congregation or listening or live streaming who know not Christ as Savior, may this be the day when they would acknowledge their sins, repent of their sins, and turn by faith to him alone who can save their never dying soul. In Jesus' name I pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, history is replete with exciting, intriguing, fascinating stories. But I've come to tell you none are so exciting, so intriguing, so fascinating as the story of Jesus. Because his story is the greatest story ever told. Little wonder that blind Fanny Crosby wrote, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever, I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Listen again to the words of my text. Unto us a child is born. That's his humanity. Remember, he was just as much God as though he had never become man, and just as much man as though he had never been God. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 tells us he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Unto us a son is given. That's his deity. Listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians 2:9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The triune God, the triune God, and Jesus is the second person of that Trinity. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isaiah went on to write that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, that's his universal reign from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. John wrote in the Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. How long is that? Forever is forever. He's the king forever, and he will reign forever. His name shall be called Wonderful. Do you have any reason to doubt that Paul knew what he was talking about when he said in Philippians 2:9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All hail of the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tongue on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. By the way, is he the Lord of your life? Have you trusted him? Have you anchored your faith in him? Have you been born again? Has your name been written in the Lamb's book of life? How wonderful. There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. At the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven, we'll crown him when our journey is complete. Well, that completes my introduction. And I'm ready to start preaching. I've entitled this message. And this tells the whole story. The unfolding drama of the first Christmas. Get that down, the unfolding drama of the first Christmas. I would have you to observe with me in the first place the stage upon which the drama unfolded. Where did all of this take place, this wonderful drama? Why, it took place right here on planet Earth, in the land of Israel, in the sleepy little town called Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. We do not have to guess where Jesus would be born, because the prophet Micah, 700 years before Jesus was born, told us it would be Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now watch this, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Wow. He was there before the stars sent their light across the dark sky. He was there before the rivers ran to the ocean. He's always been there, from everlasting to everlasting. The story of Jesus encompassed heaven and earth, as well as time and eternity. Listen to what John said in his first chapter, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, with one stroke of the divinely inspired pen, John takes us out of the realm of time and into the realm of eternity with these words, in the beginning. He takes us away from earth to heaven. He takes us away from the mundane to the majestic. John tells us that God became man. John tells us that the Creator became the creature. John tells us that the Most High became the Most Nigh. And they called his name Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about. Isaiah went on to say his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Please don't miss this. God came down here to be with us, so we could go up there to be with him. What an awesome God. The poet wrote, from the Father's bosom came the Son on a special mission to make us one. Born in Bethlehem of a virgin mother, he lived his life as no other. Though working with Joseph a carpenter's trade, true to his father's mission, he faithfully stayed. It's important to note that his first recorded words on earth were these: I must be about my Father's business. That's what Christmas is all about. This dynamic drama was not a cheap production of a second-rate theatrical playwright. No, no, no. God himself was the producer of this drama. The Holy Spirit was the director. And the sacred scripture was the script. Now, you know this. You can encounter Jesus through the Bible anywhere and everywhere, from Genesis to Revelation. In the Pentateuch, he's the living lawgiver. In the history books, he's heaven's historian. In the poetical books, he's the poet laureate. In the prophetical books, he's the prolific prophet. In the Gospels, he's the suffering Savior. In the Acts, he's the articulate administrator. In the Epistles, he's the tremendous teacher. In the Revelation, he's the reigning King. John said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what Christmas is all about. Open the Bible, find him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible, share God's love. And that brings me now to the second part of the drama. We're going to meet in the second part the characters in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, may I say before we introduce the characters that in this unfolding drama, Jesus connects the Old Testament, follow me carefully now, with the New Testament. In the Old Testament book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Did you see there in that one verse the virgin birth and the crucifixion of Christ? That's what Christmas is all about. Now here's the connection. Follow me carefully. The fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 in the Old Testament is found in the New Testament book of Galatians chapter 4 at verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come." By the way, let me tell you, God is never a day early. He's never a day late. He's always on time. "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman." There it is, Genesis 3:15. "Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I'm happy to report to you, I've been adopted. My name's written down, heir to a mansion, a harp, and a crown. And I'm happy that Jesus is my Savior. And one day I'll reign with him, and so will you if you're saved. Now, these characters that are in this drama, the first character that we will encounter will be Gabriel, the angel, who announced to Mary that she would be the mother of the Christ child. It's written in Luke chapter 1 at verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." We move on to meet two very important characters, Mary and Joseph, the mother and foster father of Jesus. Then we meet the shepherds. The shepherds to whom the angel of the Lord made the announcement of Jesus' birth. And it is written in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. To me, it's important to understand that God did not announce the birth of his son to Caesar in Rome. He did not make the announcement of his son to the high priest in Jerusalem. He did not make the announcement of his son to a philosopher in Athens. He made the announcement of his son to the lowest caste of people on the globe, shepherds. They had no right by the law. They couldn't testify in a court. They were the lowest crust of humanity. And yet, God made the announcement. And here it is. Those shepherds were so afraid. And here it is. Fear not. For behold, I'll bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're here today. And that's what Christmas is all about. The next group that we meet is the group of wise men. How many were there? We don't know. Where did they come from? An eastern country, probably Persia or maybe Arabia. The products were Arabian. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to worship the Christ child. And they gave him gifts. By the way, in all of our exchanging of gifts this Christmas, have we forgotten whose birthday it is? Have we given him a gift? A gift of love? A gift of ourselves? Not just a monetary gift, but giving of ourselves to him. Here I am, Jesus. Use me. Any way you see fit, I'm yours because I've been bought with a price. The wise men followed his star, the brightest in the Judean sky, until it led them to the place where Jesus was. I'm happy to report to you that his star still lights the way to God. In fact, the only way to God. That's what Jesus, I'm going to quote Jesus. You don't mind if I quote Jesus, do you? It's his birthday. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now I hasten to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that neither humanism or materialism or communism or socialism or paganism or any other ism or wasm can diminish the brightness of the star of Bethlehem. Jesus declared himself to be the bright and morning star. The hymn writer included in his song, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal duty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, lead us to thy perfect light. Now, the next character, we'll put the rest of the characters aside for a moment. The chief character in this unfolding drama is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah of God, the Savior of the world. He alone is worthy of our praise, and he has the leading role from everlasting to everlasting. He's greater than Abraham. He's wiser than Solomon. He's older than Adam. Time pinches no wrinkles in the brow of him who is the Ancient of Days. By the way, Jesus is the only person in history whose birth certificate was written 7 years before his birth. You know it. I just quoted it to you. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what Christmas is all about. There's one other name in the list of his namings that I would call your attention to, the Mighty God. As the Mighty God, he cannot be confined, contained, or confiscated. As the Mighty God, he cannot be cornered, captured, or controlled. He is absolutely necessary. He is exclusively sufficient, and he's forever satisfying. And according to Hebrews, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. The philosophers, the sages, the renowned thinkers through the centuries have tried in vain to picture who Jesus is, and they failed. How could we ever describe him? No artist can paint a proper portrait of his blessed person. No historian can write an essay that can adequately describe his divine majesty. No orator can articulate his excellent glory. Only the inspired word of God gives us an adequate and true picture of his identity. And guess what? It comes from the lips of a most unlikely person. Remember, he cussed a little bit and swore that he didn't know Jesus. But out of his mouth came these words, 10 words, giving Jesus true identity. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isaiah tells us that Jesus was born of the virgin. And I make bold to tell you, if there be no virgin birth, then Christianity is only a myth that will in the end succumb to its deception and be buried beneath the ashes of its own presumption. But thank God there was a virgin, and there was a virgin birth, and Mary the virgin did give birth to him, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And he alone could say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Now, we have seen the stage. We have met the characters. Now we explore the plot for our final thought. The plot of the old unfolding drama of the first Christmas. Hear me when I say it. God had but one objective in staging this drama. That one objective was to perfect his plan for the salvation of all mankind. And this is what Christmas is all about. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people, his people, from their sins. Now please don't miss this. Let it be known to all persons present, and to all men everywhere, the cradle cannot be divorced from the cross. And Christmas without Calvary offers no hope of eternal salvation. What did God say to that world of lost sinners on that first Christmas morn? God said, you are imprisoned in the darkness of sin, and I am sending you the perfect light. What else did God say? God said, you have sinned, and I'm offering you a Savior. Did God say anything else? Yes. God said, your greatest need is love, and I'm giving you all of my love in the person of my Son, Jesus Christ. Think this over. The best gift is not laid under a tree, but was hanged on a tree. You see, it is not Jesus or, it is not Jesus and, it is Jesus alone. For Jesus alone can forgive your sins. Jesus alone can save you from eternal death. Jesus alone can save your never dying soul. For you see, salvation is not in a creed or a code or a covenant or a convent or a church. Salvation is in a person, and only in a person, and only in one person. And that person is not the Pope, nor the priest, nor the preacher. That person is Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate his birthday today. Run, John, run, the law commands, but gives us neither legs nor hands. A better note the gospel brings, it bids us fly and gives us wings. What an awesome Savior. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, whosoever, did you get that? Not whosoever was born in America, not whosoever is the highest rank in the military, or the tallest tree in the forest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all in the book. And God wrote the book. I have a final word of warning. And I promise you I speak as compassionately as I know how to speak. Please, please, if you've missed everything else, please don't miss this. You may become religious by joining the church or by being baptized or by being confirmed or by learning the code, learning the scripture, or by reciting the Apostles' Creed. But unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. And hell is hell, and hell is real. You say, but preacher, that's plain talk. Yeah, that is plain talk, but that's Bible talk. That's God's talk. And could I warn you, you cannot, must not ever argue with God. He always has the last word. And I promise you, there is no reverse gear in his missile of judgment. And I tell you, the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. I sounded the bad news, but stay tuned. I've got some good news for you. Jesus loves you. And he died at Calvary to save your never dying soul. He paid your sin debt in full. There was a theologian a few years ago, you might not even know the name, Robert Dick Wilson. Hear me. He could speak 25 different languages. He could read 45 different languages. He was professor at Princeton, later at Westminster Seminary. Listen to this now. In one of his last lectures to his students, he said, After all these years of Bible study, the greatest truth I ever learned is this. Jesus loves me. This I know. Can I tell you he loves you? And you can know it to do today, and I hope that you will. If you're here today without Christ, listen to me. What better day than when you celebrate his birthday, you could say to him, here's your present from me. Here's my life. I give you all. Save my soul. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's stand for our prayer. As our heads are bowed, the altar's open, by the way. The invitation has already begun. If you're here today without Christ, having never trusted him, wouldn't it be a wonderful day on his birthday to present yourself? You don't have gold and silver to bring him. You don't have frankincense or myrrh. You don't have any amount of money. You don't have, just bring yourself and give yourself to him, and he will give himself to you. If you're here today as a born-again believer and you have been thinking about it, this might be a good time. Please listen. Christians, when's the last time you just said, "Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, saving my soul"? Wouldn't it be a good time on his birthday to just make a recommitment of your life and just come down to the front? Maybe you can't kneel, you can stand. And just say by that, "Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for saving my soul." While we have the invitation appeal, while we wait and while we pray, I bid you come. Father, speak to all of our hearts this morning. Surely there are many Christians that would like to come and just say, "Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me." Help us to be honest with you today on your birthday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.